Church to start. Find a seat. Can we make sure all the kids are in from outside, please, real quick? I know some of them were out throwing ball. But it's good to have you tonight. Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Church live streamers. Wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you. So as everybody's getting settled, let me throw some things out you real quick. Don't forget, Next Steps is happening. If you've been coming here and you're like, man, I want to make this my home church, it's learning more information, us getting to know you a little bit, you getting to know us a little bit. That is March 23rd, right after church. So sign up in the back. And we got some feedback, Chris, I think, going on. Next thing is, don't forget men's breakfast the first Saturday of April. There's a sign up in the back for that. And our discussion topic that day is the Book of Philemon. So check that out before you come. And we'll have a discussion about that. Next, tomorrow night, Don's group's meeting tomorrow night. Vinny and Tish's cooking group is meeting this Saturday at 11. And the women's coffee is always the last Saturday of the month, but we're moving up 1 week early to the 22nd because she's just got stuff to do the next week. Anyway, so having said that, small group stuff happening. If you want more information about that, check with me. We'd love to hook you into a small group. And last but not least, I'm just glad to see you. So how about we stand up on our feet tonight? Let's worship Jesus together.
Trade him.
all, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the first and the last. And we praise you tonight, Jesus, and we worship you with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We give to you. You are holy. You are just and you are good. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We speak your name. For in your name is salvation. In your name is freedom. In your name is healing. We praise you, Lord. We speak your name. It's in your name we gather tonight. It's in your name we do what we do. So wonderful. Oh, Jesus. Closest person to you, just encourage them in prayer before we stop and head on to other things. Just grab hold of them, say a prayer for them. If you don't have somebody sitting next to you, just reach your hands out towards somebody and pray for them. In Jesus' name, encourage our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, strengthen us tonight. In Jesus' name, fill us once again with your Spirit, overflowing. In Jesus' name, touch our bodies and heal our bodies. In Jesus' name, free our minds. The work of all things new happened. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. This is our time to love one another for a couple minutes here. Kids church is happening. Miss Mandy has them. Youth hangout's happening tonight. We got Judah and Justice. I think I saw Justice come in. So we'll give them a second to get there. Thank you, worship team. Good job tonight. So live streamers, we'll be connecting with you in just a minute. Amen.
Well, they're getting kids checked in downstairs, youth getting ready for youth hangout tonight. Those of you who are left up here, you can prepare your giving. Ooh. But again, it's good to see you on a Wednesday night in the house. So as you are preparing your giving tonight, we'll take that up in just a second. Couple things real quick. Don't forget, now this started today. Today is 40 days till Easter. And if you were not here Sunday, and Al, I'm going to have you help me out, Al. If you were not here Sunday and you didn't get one of the daily scripture reading guide for the 40 days leading up to Easter, you can wave your hand around now and Al will get one of these to you. And this started today, and today's passage is 1 Corinthians 15. Just some verses in there. So go ahead and wave your hand around until Al finds you. And it's just a wonderful time to focus over the next 40 days leading up to Easter on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Got one over here, Al. But as you're preparing your giving, what does the Bible say? Now, how many of you intend to grow into being a giver? Let me see. I'm gonna wait till the back row is ready. So how many? They're like school. All the bad kids sit in the back. I'm just kidding. The back row. Sharon and Linda and Pat and Bonnie for sure, and Vinny. That's the back row. Yeah, they're the kids that sit in the back of the bus, sit in the back of class. I love it. Anyways, how many of y'all are growing into being a giver? Amen. Well, the Bible says there's a certain attitude that givers have. What's that attitude? Huh? Joyful, cheerful. You have a cheerful heart in your giving. Amen. So as you give tonight, smile and be happy. And give with a cheerful heart, right? It's the heart. God sees the heart. Now, here's the thing. It's not, you are to give what the Lord impresses upon your heart to give. But even if that's a little, compared maybe to something that somebody else gives, God looks at, A, your obedience to what he has said, and then he looks at your what? Your heart. Even what you have to give is little, he sees the state of your heart. That's what, he doesn't honor the amount if you're being obedient. He honors that your heart's cheerful. That is why when Jesus observed the poor woman giving all that she had to the temple treasury, he said, now see, she gives more than everybody else. And she was, because she gave above and beyond what other people were giving. She's given all she had, but it's the state of her life, that why she would do such a thing, right? God sees the state of your heart. Amen. So let me pray over it and you can bring it. Lord, we thank you that we can give cheerfully tonight, that we have something to give, and that we're giving in obedience to you. We're learning how to depend upon you. And I pray in all things, you're teaching us what it means to live in the joy of our salvation, even living out the things you've asked us to live within our salvation. So as we give tonight, we give with that joyful, that cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So you can bring it. I think I got all the announcements taken care of. So if you have your Bibles, you can open 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, all of our kids, youth that help us with the computer and stuff, and they're all, huh? Oh, never mind. Mike's going to take care of it. Never mind. So when Mike gets back, there's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. So we're going to be tonight and probably at least two more Wednesdays, maybe three more, depending on how I get through this. We're going to be talking about the mind, your brain. All right? Check, make sure it's there. I'm kidding. Y'all got one. It works. But I'm going to say this. This book right here is by a guy named Craig Rochelle. And I rarely do this, okay? But I am for this. Craig Rochelle, is called Winning the War of Your Mind. This is a great supplement to what I'm going to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks. It's going to take this much more depth than I'm going to get into. Okay? So if you want more about this, you can find this on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you shop. And I don't think it's too expensive. But if you want one and you can't afford it, let me know, and Margaret will buy it for you. Okay? We'll take care of it. All right? So don't worry about that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. And as you are turning there, I want you to listen to this. Your life, and this is the only time in this that I'm doing this, but this first line comes out of this book, okay? Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. As you think, that's what you do, okay? And some of you need to replace and change your thoughts so the direction of your life changes. As you think, your body or the things that you do, your actions and your reactions, the things that you say, your feelings, your moods, these things, now feelings and moods sometimes do certain things, but your actions and words definitely, and even in some ways your feelings, your moods, it starts here. In other words, when I just did this, my brain told it to do that. The words that I'm saying right now, my brain is, my body is not acting on its own. So if you come up to me and say something to me and I respond angrily to you, it had to come from here. Now, the heart is the seat of a person. Things come out of our heart, but our brain is what makes things go. And some of you, how many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night and could not go back to sleep because your brain just would not stop? Okay, your brain can affect all sorts of stuff. So as your thoughts go, so does your life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be talking about your thought processes over the next 2, maybe 3 more weeks after tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me get there, and I'll catch up with you that are already there. And verse 1 goes like this. I, Paul writing this, obviously. Myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Oh, man, meekness and gentleness. Yeah, we're in Sermon on the Mount on Sundays. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away. Yeah, that's the way Paul writes letters. And I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. So Paul's always dealing with people that are contrary to him. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not. Now watch this. We walk in the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? Your body. You are living life on this earth, here and now, feet on the earth. You're alive. You're breathing. That's your flesh, okay, your body. But we don't fight for the way that flesh walks. In other words, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. It's echoed elsewhere in like Ephesians chapter 6. Now watch what Paul writes here. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy what? Strongholds. Now, how many ever heard that word before? Strongholds. Okay. We're going to talk about strongholds. We destroy. Now here comes sort of this following of that word strongholds, and Paul's starting to put into a context of what a stronghold is. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take captive every what? Thought to obey Christ. being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So yes, so just kind of going back to that, we walk in the flesh, but we don't wage war, the spiritual kind of war, according to the wars of the flesh. We don't fight the spiritual wars with guns and knives and bombs, right? Our battle is not, as Paul writes another time, Ephesians, our battle is not against what? The flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and so forth. And by the way, that whole thing, some people think Paul is making distinct divisions here. It's a big picture of what you don't see, okay? And I think when we're done with this, we're going to jump into a short series on angels, the devil, and demons. I'll talk a little bit about that then. So we fight a different kind of war, but in that there's divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, right then, Paul connects that to arguments and every lofty opinion against what? The knowledge of God. And in that, we learn to take captive every thought that is against, well, that knowledge of God. Take it captive, make it obedient to Christ. So, in a sense, a stronghold is a pattern of thought that is against the knowledge of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go. It is a pattern, it is a way of thinking that does not line up with the knowledge of God. That's a stronghold, okay? Now, in other words, if your life goes in the directions of your thoughts, and there are thought patterns and processes in your mind that are against the knowledge of God, then you will have thoughts, you will have actions, you will have reactions, at times emotions and feelings that are against or not in line with the knowledge of God, who He is and what He does. Is that catching what I'm saying? And these thought patterns produce life patterns. Again, things we believe, things we say, things we do, even sometimes things that we feel. Strongholds, then, these patterns of thought that are against the knowledge of God can be developed in your life due to experiences of life, simply in lack of the knowledge of God, or in different ways that the enemy schemes, they can be introduced to us by him. Okay? You can develop a pattern of thought in your mind that is against the knowledge of God, or the freedom of in him, or life in him, through an experience in life, or simply by a lack of the knowledge of God, or even the schemes of the enemy. He schemes, he plans, right? For instance, give you a couple of examples here. There are people that have a thought pattern that I am not good enough. Right? And it affects, again, how they think. It affects how they react to things. It affects whether or not they get involved in things. It affects whether or not they want to jump out in faith and try something. It can affect your feelings and your emotions. That's what I'm talking about. That could have happened to you because of an experience of life. You could have, as a kid, had somebody tell you, you're not good enough. And it stuck into a thought pattern. That thought is against the knowledge of God because God made you fearfully and wonderfully. And you are good enough in what he has purposed you to. That kind of a thought pattern is a stronghold. Okay? That kind of thinking is not in line with the life that God has for you. You could have a thought pattern or your response to things mentally is fear. That's stronghold. It affects how you respond to things. It affects what you will want to do or certainly don't want to do. That kind of thinking, that stronghold, that pattern is against the knowledge of God, because God is not the author of fear like that. We are to have reverence and fear of him, but he does not give us fear to approach life. There is a good kind of fear. I should not step out in front of a semi on the highway, right? But there's an unhealthy pattern of fear, right? You may have a thought pattern that no matter what, nothing in my life is ever good. And that thought pattern blinds you to what is good in your life. And that could happen because of experience of life. It could be a lack of the knowledge of God, of the goodness of God itself, or even the schemes and plans of the enemy. In certain ways, things happen in your life where he was the one that caused you to start to think this way. Stronghold. It could be a stronghold of lust. Your response, because of past experiences in life, because maybe there was a time you were looking at pornography. That starts a pattern of thought. Lustful thoughts. Pictures and images. Stronghold. Okay? These things are against the knowledge of God and his freedom and things that he has for your life. See, in essence, a stronghold is simply a pattern of thinking that is a lie. I'm not good enough, lie. I approach everything in fear, lie. Everything I see is lustful, lie. It's in your head, but that's not the reality of the knowledge of God. You see, I'm getting that. So strongholds, in essence, are lies that kind of roll in our brains consistently. Now, I will say this, by the way. There are probably some hard truths about you that you don't want to hear. That's just not like everything that you perceive as negative is wrong. If I tried out for the worship team to sing, and I do my tryout, and they tell you can't sing, well, that's a lie of the devil. I can sing. Well, it's true. That may be a hard truth, but it's true. Okay. So there are some hard truths about you that you need to learn, maybe cause you to grow. But we're talking about thought patterns that are against the knowledge of God, so their essence, they're lies. And in that, then, we are to learn, and what we're going to be doing over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we need to learn how to deal with that, and if you want to use the terminology, to break the stronghold of that pattern. In other words, you are in ruts in your ways of thinking. You know, it's kind of like, you ever take your car into the car wash, say drive forward and put it in neutral, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden the thing just does it for you, and you're not going to go nowhere. You're in the rut of the car wash, and you're going to get washed. And it's going to spit you out the other side. And once you put yourself there, you had really no control until you got out the other side. And you could have tried and wrecked the whole thing, but you know what I'm saying. That's what your mind does. It's a rut. And you've got to learn not only to break the rut, as we're going to talk in the next couple of weeks, you've got to learn to create new ruts and patterns of thinking that are different than the ones that are against the knowledge of God. Romans 12, 1. Romans chapter 12. Says this, Paul again writing. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or some translations say this, your spiritual act of worship. So we are to live in a way that's reflective of the righteousness that we've been granted. We live in a way as worship. Everything you do is worship. You know that? That's why you can't come down the altar here tonight and then go out and get drunk. Or use language that's full of curse words. Or whatever. Everything you do is worship unto something. This should just be an overflow of how you live your life when you're not here. But if this is to get yourself right, then work out getting yourself right when you're not here. Okay? Does that make sense? So we are to present ourselves as a spiritual act of worship. How do we do that? Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, the sinfulness of the world. Don't be conformed to the way the crowd lives or society lives. But be transformed by the renewal of your what? Your mind. There's so much important to the renewal of your mind. Because again, how you think is how you will go. If you want to live not conform to the pattern of the world, if you want to live in a way that's a spiritual act of worship, part of the working out of your salvation, made brand new, is the renewing of your mind, what you think. And that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. In other words, the knowledge of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah. So we have to renew our mind. Some of you came into your salvation with thought patterns of strongholds. And a part of the working out of your salvation is to understand that. But no, as Paul writes, where we read in 2 Corinthians 10, we have divine power to deal with this. Okay? Some of you, because of just things that happen in life, even after your salvation, you may start to develop a thought pattern because you experienced something. These need identified and to begin to be dealt with. But before we do anything over the next handful of weeks, what you have to start doing is being honest with yourself. You have to begin to identify these thought patterns that are lies in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit may have been trying to bring conviction to your life about it, maybe. Sometimes you, in just a self-awareness, as you are growing in the knowledge of God, you become aware, right? So in other words, if I had the reoccurring thought pattern that I'm not good enough, regardless of where this originated, I have to at some point identify that is a lie. I mean, what I'm saying. This constant living in fear. That, in its root, that is a lie. Okay? Lustful thought patterns. It's sin, but it's rooted in a lie that you have to live in that. Lie. Often, even when they're negative, our thought patterns are comfortable. Because that's just the way I think. And it's been that way for whatever period, since I was a kid, or since this thing happened a couple years ago, whatever. You can't deal with what you won't identify. Because in order to create new rut patterns of thought in your life, you got to deal with the old ones. And you got to start doing something with that and bringing it over to new thought patterns. And we'll talk about how that happens. Well, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is Scripture. We'll talk about these things. But you got to start with what kind of thought patterns in my life aren't of the knowledge of God? And to be honest with yourself. And then call it what it is. That shouldn't be rolling around in my brain. That should not be my reaction when that happens in my brain. Or it could be sometimes there are certain actions of your life that you find are consistent. You go, that doesn't line up with what the Christian should do. Starts up here. What do I need to change? Now, here's the thing. I've been doing this a long time, and I've never come across somebody that said they live in consistent fear that didn't say, I'd like to be free of this. I don't want to think that way. I don't want my immediate reaction to be fear. Okay. Well, I've never met somebody that struggled with their self-worth because of their thought pattern. That didn't say, man, I wish I just didn't deal with this whenever things came up. Okay. Well, I never met somebody that didn't say, I just wish I didn't have these images of lust in my brain. Okay. It's kind of like you're going to have to, A, be honest with yourself and start and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. When those things start to move, say, oh, no, that's a lie. Be honest. And then what are you going to do, as again, we're over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to talk about this, to do the work of creating new patterns? Back in the old days, before they had the tractors and all, they'd get out there with the mule or the oxen, and they'd get those handheld wooden plows, and they'd stick it down in the dirt, and they'd get to work. They'd create new ruts, if you would, where they can plant new seeds to grow new things. It's going to take some effort on your part. Okay? You're going to have to do it prayerfully. You're going to have to do it scripturally. You're going to use the tools that God has given you to live out your salvation. He's given us these tools, by the way. So being transformed by the renewal of your mind, this has to do first and foremost of life change. First and foremost. New creation. But it bleeds down into life change connected to these thought patterns. You have to use the tool of prayer. You're going to have to use the tool of the scriptures. You're going to have to get involved with this. But what I want you to do, just over the next week, I'm going to give you some homework tonight. Especially the ladies in the back row. And you can't copy each other's homework back there, by the way. I'll never know. Oh, I will know. I will. God will help me. I will know. Over the next week or so, in your own personal way, start marking down some of these thought patterns that you know aren't of the knowledge of God. Whatever it may be. Identify them. Think about yourself a little bit. Think about the things that I just wish I didn't think that way. Or, man, it seems like every time this comes up, that's my response, and I wish my response was not that. Okay, think about it. So as we jump into this stuff, then we can actively begin to say, Lord, this is not a good thought pattern in my brain, stronghold, and we're going to tear this thing down. And we're going to plant something new there, and it's going to be life. Amen? Okay? So I'm going to cut it off there, and we'll pick back up next week. All right, is this catching your heart, making sense? Yes. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we have the ability to see our salvation work out in all the areas of our lives. And Lord, we're going to need help catching hold of these thoughts that are not of you and to bring them down. That idea of the lofty stronghold that's above and has the high ground and seems to be untouchable and seems to be a way that it can't be broken through. We're gonna pull these things down. And we're gonna bring life and speak life where these patterns have brought things not of you. And I thank you that you're even interested in these things in us. That we are gonna be people who are actively renewing our minds. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, Sunday morning. So we're actually past the Beatitudes. We're going to be in Sunday. You heard it was said, you should not murder. But I tell you, yeah, so that's where we're going to be Sunday. So coming out Sunday morning, I'm looking forward to that. Have a good rest of the week. And buy somebody to church Sunday.
Just building.